This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Negotiators have less than 3 months to come up with a final agreement to limit Iran's nuclear capabilities. June 30th is the deadline in talks between the U.S. and five other world powers and Iran. They came up with a framework for the deal last week. The White House and some congressional Democrats praised it as an historic agreement that will stabilize the region. Republicans say it doesn't go far enough and have called for more sanctions on Iran or more congressional oversight on the deal. U.S. Representative David Price has been in the middle of these conversations in Washington. He's a member of the House Subcommittee on Homeland Security. He's a Democrat who represents North Carolina's 4th Congressional District, and he joins me now to talk about these and other issues. Congressman Price, good to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So there is a framework of a deal, and you and others have said this is a good start in stabilizing that region. Republicans say it doesn't go far enough. What guarantees do we have that if we took this deal the way it is today, even if we worked out a few wrinkles, that that we'll be safe, that this is a good deal for all of us in terms of security?
I don't think it's a question of absolute safety and security. This is going to require a great deal of vigilance, a great deal of intrusive inspection to make sure that the deal, whatever it is being kept. And then at the end of the period of the deal, there may well be the need for another deal. This is going to be something that is with us for a long time. This threat that Iran becoming a nuclear power represents, and for that matter, the role that Iran plays in the region. So I don't think we should assume that any deal could lay this matter to rest. It's going to be a matter of increasing our scrutiny and vigilance along this process. Having said that, most of the experts on this, the nuclear and scientific experts and people who've been watching this, think this is a better deal than they anticipated. I mean, that seems to be the consensus of opinion. As you say, it's not done yet. There's still some hard work to do in terms of tightening it up. But when it comes to what we might expect Iran to agree to and the kind of not just freezing of their program but degrading of their program that they seem to be ready to implement, I think it's a very promising deal. And of course, to get to this point, I mean, we're talking here about international negotiations and not with easy partners. I mean, we've managed to keep Russia, China, these countries together, not just in a negotiating framework, but actually keeping the sanctions on.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what worries the critics of this framework right now. Benjamin Netanyahu has the ear of Republicans in Congress. He spoke to Republicans. He also spoke to the nation on all three of the networks, or all of the network Sunday programs. And on NBC's Meet the Press, Benjamin Netanyahu spoke specifically about lifting these sanctions. Maybe it's too soon. Let's listen.
It leaves the preeminent terrorist state of our time with a vast nuclear infrastructure. Remember, not one centrifuge is destroyed. Thousands of centrifuges will be left spinning uranium. Not a single facility, including underground facilities, nuclear facilities, is being shut down. This is a deal that leaves Iran with the capacity to produce the material for many, many nuclear bombs. And it does so by lifting the sanctions pretty much up front.
All right. What about that? First, he made a couple of assumptions. First of all, the preeminent terrorist state. There are a lot of states that actually vie for that title. So we'll challenge him on that. But what about the idea of leaving the sanctions, we take down the sanctions too soon?
Well, the sanctions are going to be very, very gradually lifted. So that's misleading for starters. And the notion that the glass is half empty. I mean, really, these facilities are being mothballed or degraded. And yes, there's going to be a capacity to produce low-grade enriched uranium, but that's that even that is going to be vastly reduced. But in any case, it's a calibrated reduction of sanctions, which, of course, after all, is what is in this for Iran. I mean, you can't just assume that the approach to this is to keep tightening sanctions until Iran cries uncle. They're unlikely to cry uncle. They're unlikely to respond simply to that kind of pressure. Sanctions are not about sanctions for their own sake. Sanctions are about leveraging diplomacy.
Well, sanctions are in place now, and it hasn't stopped them.
No, that's right. And moreover, if this agreement is scuttled, or the U.S. is perceived to be the party scuttling the agreement, then how long do the sanctions hold? under those conditions. You know, a lot of international partners are going to become very, very reluctant, I think, to keep this united front.
Well, President Obama talked about that. In fact, he talked with NPR's Steve Inskeep, particularly about uranium enrichment. Again, the question, what's really at stake and what are the terms and items being negotiated in this deal? And here's President Obama.
What is a more relevant fear would be that in year 13, 14, 15, they have advanced centrifuges that can enrich uranium fairly rapidly. And at that point, the breakout times would have shrunk almost down to zero. Keep in mind, though, currently the breakout times are only about 2 to 3 months by our intelligence estimates. So essentially, we're purchasing for 13, 14, 15 years assurances that the breakout is at least a year, that if they decided to break the deal, kick out all the inspectors, break the seals, and go for a bomb, we'd have over a year to respond. And we have those assurances for at least well over a decade.
Well, let me ask you about that. There seems to be some confusion about the framework, the time frame. Iran's statement mentions limits on uranium enrichment for 10 years. But then I've also seen the U.S. talking about 15 years. Are we talking about the same deal here?
Yes, we're talking about the same deal, but it is confusing. I agree. And I'm not sure it's totally sorted out as to exactly what the time frame is going to be for different components of the agreement. But what the president's saying is absolutely true. You know, in years 12, 13, and 14, there's going to be a need, assuming you've got the same regime in place in Iran and assuming that they have the same underlying intentions with respect to a program. Yes, I mean, there's going to be a need to revisit this, clearly, as the agreement winds down. The question is not whether one would like to have a 20-year agreement or a 30-year agreement or a agreement in perpetuity, or whether one would like to have the program totally shut down. Of course, those things would be better. But the question is, what are the available alternatives to us and to the international community? And does this deal come close to the optimal? And I think it does. I think we'll see. I mean, there's some details yet to work out. There are things we're going to need to ask hard questions about. But it appears to me that if you're trying to strike a balance here between what it takes to get the toughest possible deal and what it takes to keep the international community together, to keep the willingness to impose sanctions and to be disciplined about any relief of sanctions, if you want to keep all that together, then this deal comes pretty close. In fact, it's a stronger deal than most outside observers, I think, had predicted.
Talking to Democratic Congressman David Price from North Carolina today on the State of Things. You remember the House Subcommittee on Transportation and Housing and Urban Development. And, you know, if you talk about Homeland Security, which is that you're a ranking member on that subcommittee in the House, a lot of funding for that. Now, when we talk about infrastructure, transportation, housing, urban development, that sort of thing, a different story. What's it going to be? This is a new position for you.
In fact, I've been chairman or ranking member of Homeland Security for 8 years now, and I've now switched to be ranking member on transportation and housing and urban development. So that's a new assignment. It's one I'm taking on with relish because I've been involved in these areas for a long time. They're absolutely critical to this part of North Carolina, to our economic future. And it is, as you say, an area where the budget follies are particularly damaging, where we desperately need to get past this, honestly, Republican austerity strategy. I mean, that's what's beset us since the 2010 elections. And we simply cannot manage, it seems, the kind of comprehensive budget deal, despite President Obama's best efforts. And it looked at one point like Speaker Boehner's desire. But it hasn't come about. There is this budget dogmatism that's set in, which means Republicans will not touch the tax code. Neither party, honestly, is anxious to touch entitlement spending. So ironically, we leave the main drivers of the deficit largely unaddressed.
Well, let me ask you, stop you right there, because certainly the narrative from the Republican Party has been, look, we've only got so much money, and we're going to rob Peter to pay Paul, and these entitlement programs are draining us, they're bleeding us white, and what are we going to do? But, of course, the alternative is raise more money. Now, are the Democrats really ready to propose more taxes? Because that's the only answer, is to start getting some of the money from this robust economy. Wall Street's growing. the tax coffers aren't, would the Democratic Party propose tax increases?
What the Democratic Party, I believe, would propose, and what actually a lot of Republicans under the right circumstances would probably agree to, is a comprehensive package, a la the budget deals we had in 1990, 1993. 1990 was bipartisan. 1993 was Democratic heavy lifting. But those agreements, they involve tax increases. Yes, indeed. They also involved some entitlement cuts, and they involved other spending cuts. And they balanced the budget. They balanced the budget for 4 years. We had $400 billion of the national debt retired, and we had a roaring economy. And, I mean, what's not to like about that? So the historical precedent isn't too far to seek, but it's just beyond our present political capacity to get that done.
All right, Congressman.
So we've returned again and again to appropriated spending to the great detriment, I think, of investments we need to make.
Congressman, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Yes, thank you.
Congressman David Price represents North Carolina's 4th Congressional District. He's a Democrat. He's hosting a town hall meeting tonight at the Halifax Community Center in Raleigh and Thursday at East Chapel Hill High School. Just ahead, a new documentary follows a community devastated by the Upper Big Branch mine disaster at Massey Energy. You'll hear about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.